This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Now it's up to me to bow out gracefully.
The great debate continues in St. Louis. Will people be watching the Super Bowl on KMOV? Martin, the text lines indicate that they won't be watching. I have it at a 35 share in St. Louis on Sunday. What do you think?
You think it'll be a 35 share?
Yeah.
I'm going to say higher. I think people are lying. I think people are saying they won't watch. Then at the evening rolls around Sunday, or they get a text that says it's 14-0, Patriots are taking it to them. Like, oh, I got to watch this. Or Brady just fumbled and the
Kroenke got mustard on his shirt. All right, we're watching now.
I think people will watch. If it's hate watching, whatever you call it, I just think a lot of people are going to be rooting. There's a small amount that will root for the Rams, and then there's a lot of people who will just watch hoping they have some sort of bitter disappointment, whether it's a blowout or whether it's a last-second loss. I think a lot of people are going to watch.
I won't watch the Super Bowl. I haven't watched any NFL game since the announcement the Rams were leaving. Courtney D, though, with my interest level is a 7. Now, here's an interesting question. Frank, what do you want worse, for the Rams to lose or to win the bet with Tuna and Strick? Oh, I definitely want the Rams to lose more than.
You'd be willing to lose your bet,
yeah,
if I could guarantee you a Rams loss in the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
But what about the game itself? I mean, I think, if I had to guess, emotions aside, I think I'd pick the Patriots to win.
Oh,
it's just
yeah,
hard to bet against Brady Belichick. Now, I know they've lost Super Bowls before. Should have lost that Seattle one that they did win. It's just hard to vote against or pick against them.
He's so good at dinking and dunking down the field. It doesn't need to be 50, 60-yard bombs. I think Sonny Michel is a fantastic running back. They just have enough pieces, and it's Tom Brady. I think it's the Patriots. I think it'll be a good game. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was a 14-17 point win for the Patriots.
Like, and now they're angry. And now they've got a chip on their shoulder. They've found a new one. It's ridiculous. But Tom Brady is all in on this. And as long as he believes it, or if they believe it in that locker room, and it gets them fired up, then, hey, if it works for them.
Hey, Frank, now this is an interesting one. This is from Bob. Hey, Frank, I'm working on a project that I will have ready for your Friday slop show. I'm going back to the year 2000, and I'm coming up with a list of business owners that relocated their company from St. Louis to another area in order to make more money. And then I'm curious to see if you will bash those business owners like you do Mr. Kroenke. Well, if those business owners right from the start would simply say, you know what, I'm going to leave because I think there's better opportunities for me in another area, instead of going through this charade for 4 or 5 years and also putting on a really crappy product for those years, I wouldn't have as big issue. Now, granted, I still would never be warm and fuzzy about Stan, but the deception part of it was the thing that really got me.
Correct. I think people are looking for more honesty. I know they say now, well, I guess we could have handled it better, but it was a total charade. And the NFL played a complicit role in saying, well, let's look at that stadium again. Oh, move that elevator over there. It was just so stupid. As you look back on it, tweaking the whole design, which cost millions to draw up those renderings. Yeah, let's see. How about a little more parking over here? And it was all a giant waste of time. And Kevin Demoff sealed the deal by saying, I'll never forget, August 2013, we had the land picked out. We knew where we could end up.
Stan called me that morning.
I'll never forget where
I got
was.
It. Yeah,
I think the worst soundbite was from your boy Demoff still when he said, thankfully or not so thankfully,
correct,
we lost the last 4 games of the season. Like, that kind of just showing you we didn't care either way.
Like,
we kind of wanted to make the move easier.
Correct. In 2015, we were sort of in playoff contention, and we did lose those, I believe it was 3 games in a row, right after the Minnesota loss, which was a painful, brutal loss if at the time you still sort of cared about the team. And he said later to his high school audience, I believe, his alma mater, thankfully we lost those games so I could kind of focus on the big stuff.
And the scorching of the earth on the way out. You know, the NFL owners meetings in Chicago where Alan Bornstein, the biggest trader St. Louis has ever known, is putting together this lengthy thing about how St. Louis is not a good city and not a good sports town, and we can't handle this. And yeah, so.
And the more you look at it, and I have a copy somewhere, it's also just really embarrassing. If you read it, it's sort of childish. Well, the Cardinals are popular, and people like them better than the Rams anyway. I'm like, what? A bunch of grown-ass men complaining that the baseball team is too popular? Go Pats. Yeah. That's all I can say. All right, five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University.
Time to tee up the hot topics. It's five for Frank, brought to you by Greenville University, a liberal arts institution just 45 miles from St. Louis.
Well, I know we are a baseball town. That's what we were told. It was actually Greg Aiello, the longtime PR guy, who said that, I believe, to Randy Carricker and a few others on the way out after the vote went down. Ah, you guys are a baseball town anyway. But we were number three in NHL All-Star ratings. Did you see that? In the U.S., there are some Canadian
teams. I don't
think
I contributed to that. Did you?
I did not. I had an event that night. But Channel 5 carried the game, and it was the third highest rated city. Buffalo, Pittsburgh ahead of St. Louis. That's it in terms of hockey markets.
What was the number?
I think on a national level it was like a 3 or something. It was not a robust.
Okay.
It was not a robust. But good for us. Here's my question. Would you enjoy the NHL All-Star game more? Of course, next year that's all we care about. It's the biggest thing ever.
Can't wait.
If it's East versus West.
I want one game, too.
Correct.
Exactly.
And they play a 3-period game of hockey.
Oh, my God. And I want regular hockey, too. Like, five guys out there and a goaltender.
Why are defensemen in the All-Star game? They just let everybody go by. The goalies are kind of...
I mean, it would be okay if it's high scoring and everything. But the NBA is not playing 3-on-3 in their All-Star game. The NBA All-Star game is actually kind of cool, okay? In football, they have 11 guys out there. I don't understand it at all.
And it's so weird, like, hey, honey, who won the game? Well, the Metropolitans beat Atlantic, and then the Central, they beat the Pacific, but then the Atlantic, who the hell knows?
And then you're reading, like, Ryan O'Reilly was a finalist, Final Four for the MVP. What? What do they say after the NBA All-Star game? Well, I was the Final Four for the MVP.
Finalist for the MVP.
God.
East versus West, right? Just play a regular hockey game.
With that said, I can't wait for the game to come here next year.
Correct. Oh, that's different. That's
countdown
totally different.
Starts today.
Thank you. We're on the clock. Let's go by the Enterprise Center today and see if any of the banners are going up. All right. We had Matt Holliday on the TV side, and I asked him if he has ever thought about wearing one of those red jackets. And then I said, Frank and I have a little insight there if you want to be nice to us. He said he has thought about it. And then I get a text that says, or a tweet that said, there's zero chance he's a Cardinals Hall of Famer.
Oh, wait a minute.
And I thought,
can you tell us who wrote this?
I'll try and find it, but it was a tweet. It was somebody. It's not somebody I knew. Am I mistaken here, or is Matt Holliday a likely Cardinal?
Oh, my God.
Oh my God, he's a huge
the first time
that,
he's
isn't that
out
obvious?
Of the first time he's eligible. Three years out?
Right. Did I miss something there?
What is it about a career 849 OPS? a career 415 OBP? Oh, my goodness. This is a 316 home runs. He should be a 300 hitter, still 299.
Not our guy, Ed, who hates everything. But he did email me last night.
Yes.
And he was ripping on the 3-hour production that Fox had of the play Rent. They did a live performance last night of the play.
Which was your call? Your decision.
He was making fun of that. He was making fun of the All-Star format. Why are you watching?
All your decisions.
Stop watching. You don't have to watch it.
Hate watching.
Complains about everything. You're allowed to hate watch if it's the Rams. That's different.
Well, that's good, though. That I think we're all in agreement that first time you and I have him on the ballot, he's in.
Oh, for sure.
My takes are always really bad, but I think I'm pretty confident saying, he's automatic.
As a Cardinals Hall of Famer, an 8-year run, whether he was the most popular Cardinal or not is not the question. All right, true or false, Frank, despite hating the Rams, you sort of like Wade Phillips.
Yeah.
He's kind of fun, isn't he?
Any son of bum is a friend of mine. Yeah, I love him. He's good. He's wisecracker, just kind of a cool guy. Players love him. In fact, that whole coaching staff, Sean McVay would be terrific to cover. He's really neat. Have you ever seen his girlfriend, by the way?
Wow.
I have not.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh. Brian,
have you seen
show it?
Show
it to Mark right now. Oh, my
meaning the
goodness.
Picture, of course.
may be the best looking female. It's interesting. The coaches, neither is married, and both, although at different stages of their life, date stunningly attractive females. So there may be a theme here. If you want to be a good coach. Do you remember the coach that got into trouble, the college coach?
Which one?
Narrow it down.
No, who said that he, when he hires assistants, he looks at their wives.
Oh, God.
Maybe it was Franklin. But he said if they can recruit that beautiful woman, then they can recruit players.
I think it was James Franklin who said that.
Oh, you got the picture there?
Yeah, I got a couple photos here.
Very attractive woman.
Very nice woman.
Probably knows a lot about football, so they break down the game.
Now, you've seen, I'm sure you've seen Belichick's.
Bill Belichick. I think you've shown me a picture of them at a Celtics game.
Probably,
is that
yes.
where they're typically spotted?
We were at the Billiken game in Orlando. I think I told the story. They're walking down the steps. Billikens are playing.
He's friends with Billy Donovan, right?
Yes.
Is that what it was?
He is friends with Donovan. I guess Florida's playing next. You're right. And he walks down the steps, and not one person is looking at Belichick. They're all looking at this 50-ish, a very attractive young lady.
And everybody says, especially the Russo, says that Belichick has a great personality.
Deardorff, remember? He told us that, too.
Yeah, and that it's just not something he's ever going to crack and give in to the media. Charles Barkley hangs out with Bill Belichick.
Gibby with a great text. Slamming Holiday. That's a total Strick move. That's good.
This is funny. I think the question was about son of bum Wade Phillips. We got into like,
how did we get to that?
Good-looking girlfriends. All right, Frank. True or false? You're on board with James Gandolfini's son, Michael Gandolfini, playing the young Tony Soprano. There's a movie coming out called The Many Stars of Newark, and it's Gandolfini's son playing young Tony. Are you intrigued?
Yeah, that'd be interesting. You know, I never saw the show.
Oh, great!
You never
show.
Saw The Sopranos?
No.
Wasn't the Many Saints of Newark? I think it's the Many Stars. It's the Many Saints of Newark.
What is it? Oh, the Many Saints of Newark. How is it possible? A little too close to home? Or?
Well, there is a Cusimano early in that show, from what I understand. I got some text about that.
Yeah, his neighbor.
Yeah. But anyway, the reason, because I was on this stretch for most of my life, only watching one show at a time and watching very little TV, whether it was Seinfeld for a stretch, Everybody Loves Ray, you know, Two and a Half Men. And then it's just in the last year and a half that I've kind of discovered all this stuff and been binge watching. So
would you go back and
I think I would, yeah.
dig in on the...
I mean, I'm in Ray Donovan was pretty old and I'm into that.
A lot of people have gone back. My buddy Mike just said that he's gone back and started The Sopranos over, even though he consumed it all.
Really?
At the time, he's now going back and watching the whole thing.
Yeah, my brother Mark is rewatching Breaking Bad. Why? I mean, you've already seen everything.
I did that during that one big snow day that we had a couple weekends ago.
Really?
I watched a lot of old Sopranos episodes. Just, you always catch.
Do you think the Sopranos is better than like Breaking Bad?
Yes.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Man.
The Sopranos is an
outstanding
show.
I got Breaking Bad number one on my list, so it's hard for
Martin,
me to take that off.
Break the tie here.
I think I'd go Sopranos.
It's a brilliant show.
I'm a huge Bryan Cranston fan, so that kind of... I'm biased to that, but man, his character's so
that's
good.
There's a list for everything, probably Ranker and others. Is one considered better, critics-wise? Is there an obvious choice?
I think
Breaking
Sopranos
Bad
is probably considered better, I would think, by...
Why?
Rotten Tomatoes, Sopranos. Brian, you do Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Sopranos.
Everybody at home, talk amongst yourselves. We're going to Google a couple things here.
Tomatoes.
Think about Bill Belichick's girlfriend.
Breaking Bad has a 96%.
Oh, go to Sopranos. I screwed this up.
I'm sure it's
that's going to be harder. Okay, so...
So Breaking Bad,
96%.
Okay. Right, 92% Sopranos.
I still
think The Sopranos is a tick better than Breaking
Bad. Yeah, I don't know
Bad.
If you can... You don't always have to go by Rotten Tomatoes. It's
correct.
Your preference. I don't think you can go wrong with either.
There are other places to look.
Yeah.
I think it's appalling that Frank, as a great Italian, has not watched The Sopranos.
Frank not seeing The Sopranos is almost as bad as Martin never seeing The Goonies.
Huh. Oh,
or
my, you
Rudy.
Have
you haven't seen Rudy?
No.
Oh, that's...
The Goonies?
Yeah, nah, you don't...
Irish.
You don't have to see Rudy.
You would love The Goonies, though.
I've been handed copies of both.
I've never seen Goonies.
How about Star Wars?
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I saw Star Wars like 10 times at the theater. Now, I've lost track.
That explains a lot.
Oh, there are too many now.
Seven or eight of these.
They're superheroes.
But the fourth one is actually the first one, and the fifth one's actually the third. I can't keep track. All right, number five. Great event the other night, our little haven, trivia event, a lot of great people there. Which, by the way, you know when you feel old, Frank, is when people, the younger people there, say, hey, Mr. Kilcoin, and they're in their, like, 30s, and they call you Mr. And, well, at one point, a younger group came over and said, hey, we want to get a picture. I said, oh, sure. And they said, yeah, our parents know who you are. And took me over their table.
I thought you were going to say, oh, and here's how you use the camera. You press that button right
they
there.
Hand me their camera. Here, we just wanted a picture of us. No, Mr.
Well,
Kilcoin.
Well, you are a distinguished-looking gentleman.
Thank you. But the topic is, and I didn't realize Charlie was getting into this on Twitter, the whole give-it-back phenomenon. And it happens in St. Louis a lot. We used to talk about this on KTRS with Joe Holloman. And he hates that every charity event, when you win the 50-50, people in the room start chanting, give it back. Now, to the credit of our crowd, they're like, nobody said that. So pot of gold, end of the night, you bought your raffle tickets. The organization gets half. It's a fundraiser. It was $500. The guy gets the $500 in the envelope, starts walking back towards his chair. Nobody said anything, which was nice, because I hate that peer pressure. But I saw him just kind of turn around and go back, and he just gave him the envelope back.
Wow.
And like, how nice is that? $500, charitable. They need the help. It's for the kids. And then I said, how about this? From now on, instead of us saying give it back, just grab a little pile out of there and then give it back. And everybody kind of cheered a little bit. Don't you think that's fair? Just take a little something and then give it back.
Yeah, well, interesting. When I was in Lexington, I bought a raffle ticket at an event that I was doing. And I won $2,000. And it would have looked so bad. So I kept 100. And when I got home, I said to Monique, here, buy yourself something nice.
I think it's okay to, first of all, it's okay to keep it. And if they chant give it back, that's not fair. Because it's a 50-50 split. Maybe you got a car that's broken down at home. Maybe the kid needs a new pair of shoes. Who knows what that person's situation
absolutely.
Is. I hate when they chant. Nobody did that the other night. But my compromise is, if you're going to give it back, just reach in and grab a little something.
How about this? Troy Robertson, the outstanding realtor, Ryan's brother, former
Billiken. I actually saw him this morning.
You did? At the MAC?
Yep.
Oh, these jocks are all like, all he
mayor,
does is lift weights and make
the
love
mayor,
to his wife.
The mayor of the MAC, Troy yes. Robertson.
So anyway, Troy sent out a card. We got it Saturday, and he gives you a lottery ticket. And it's a lottery for a lot of big money. So would you feel guilty if you win $50 million in this lottery that Troy bought the lottery ticket to actually buy a home from him?
No, I would never tell him. Absolutely not.
Oh, how'd I get this $50 million? Oh, stocks.
Frank won the lottery. Didn't I just give you a lottery? No, this is different. Monique was at the Circle 7 the other day. Totally
maybe,
different.
Maybe buy a little bungalow in Kirkwood from him or something. I don't know.
I've always wondered at work when people throw in. How do you know the person that bought this? Maybe they just kept a couple tickets for themselves.
Yeah.
Or if they do win, that's got to be a nightmare. But ten of us are all in on this together.
But if it's like 200, 300 million, do you really feel bad that you're giving that extra person who didn't put in that week their cut?
Well, yeah. No, as long as everybody...
It's an agreement between
Well, as long as they don't say, no, my ticket won, your ticket...
Oh, yeah.
You know, I bought a bunch of tickets, but the one that I bought on my own is different from the one I bought for the group.
That's good. I didn't think about that.
If you win a $5 million lottery today, would we see you tomorrow here at work?
Oh, God, no.
No.
Oh, well, no.
Right,
God,
I mean,
no.
Okay, I do the five for Frank, and then say, I
got
to go.
I got vacation days. You know, you use those up real quick, and then you kind of decide... You map out your future after
that. I think you show up and then you leave, like mid-show.
I've always wanted to buy
And Martin's
station.
Here now with sports. You know what? Screw this. Just get up and walk out.
Well, that'd be great. That'd be a YouTube sensation.
No, actually what's funny was there's video.
Of course, I would never do that. I'm a professional.
There's a video a few years ago of an Alaska. It's a news anchor in Alaska. She quit on air to pursue her recreational or medical marijuana business that then... folded, and now she is like blackballed in that area, so can't find a new job. So don't do that, Martin, because you may need this job in 10 years after you spend all that.
I want to put this out for our audience. Who's won a lottery out there? I want you to call in and tell us what it's like, how much you won.
Even like $100,000 or something at the convenience store?
855-282-8255. Any lottery winner out there, please call us. We want to hear about your life. 855-282-8255.
We want to hear about your life.
Brian, isn't it true that people who win lotteries lose all the money within like 10 years?
Yeah, but I think
a lot of family distress.
Family distress. I think it's worth pointing out the kind of people who might consistently play the lottery, so then they suddenly have a lot of money, and then they aren't in a position to maybe save it necessarily. I think that happens fairly often with some lottery winners.
Do we answer that? Frank,
I was wondering what you were doing.
Frank asked people to call in, so I was pointing. Maybe we should actually answer the phones.
Let's take a lottery win. I'd love to hear.
I don't want to do anything extreme, but since Frank said let's have people call in.
I mean, we're not going to get a lot, are we?
No, but I thought maybe we should actually answer. Everybody's looking at me like I'm crazy. I'm like, maybe we should answer the phone. Just think, you're a lottery winner. We actually picked up the phone. 855-282-8255 is the text line, but also
Dom and I won $50 of that to pair 7-Eleven once. That's the most I've ever won.
I would even be willing to hear a story or two about people who have won that 50-50, and it's like $1,000 or something, and they had something at home that they needed, or you know, a new window or something to repair, but the crowd chanted, "Give it back," and then you just feel obligated.
That's when you take the mic and, you know, express your issue that you're having at home. And
if you guys only knew, this is a drop, and then the charity ends up giving you the other half. They turn it all the way around. And Frank, is there any limit? What if they won $5,000? Just tell us your lottery stories, okay?
Yeah. Do we have a winner there?
We do not. It's Hockey Bob calling in to remind.
Nice, Martin.
who knew it.
I guess
he won a flat screen TV at a 590 event years ago, and he said he had to pry it out of your hands. Both of yours. Apparently you guys were not giving it up.
Well, we didn't want to give anything to Hockey Bob.
He Facebooked last night something about, you guys are rude, you don't even take my calls, you don't return my texts. Poor Bob.
I won
the great Robert Foley
$20,000 on a $30 Missouri Lottery scratch-off. Hey, call in. I want to hear about this. If you win a multi-million dollar lottery, first thing you should do is contact a lawyer to set up a trust so that your family can't bug you for money.
Yeah, how many people would you tell? At what number do you, like, let's say you and Monique today won $30,000. You probably won't tell the kids because they'll be like, hey, buy us a new car. If it's 100, do you tell anybody in the family? All right, it's 1,000,000, you're probably going to notice. Mom's got a new mink coat, okay.
Oh, the first thing you do is I'd call my
dad's
mom.
Dad's got a navigator. What's going on?
Right.
Yeah, 53,000.
What are you, a college athlete again?
I mean, they still haven't found the person who won the big lottery out in South Carolina, right? That reached $1 billion or close to it.
Have they not come forward? Is that really?
No, because you don't have to in some states. And I think South Carolina is one of those.
You have enough money now to keep you off the grid.
Let me ask a little housekeeping here. Can we not answer the phone in this room? So if Brian has to literally walk down the hall.
Well, it wouldn't sound great.
Okay.
If you're trying to give a hot take and you got Brian answering Hockey Bob calls right next to you.
And what happened to the windows on Kirkwood where people could walk up and share their story here?
It was such a well-conceived idea.
We've got
it's
a
really
little,
worked
not
out.
Quite done yet.
We've got a little booth where you can walk up and share your story here in Kirkwood.
Oh, wait a minute. We may have one here.
I've never seen Frank so excited to talk to a lottery winner. The man is interviewed.
He's
Hall
looking
of
for
Famers,
more sponsors. He's...
actors, politicians, and now
Bobby.
Bobby, you're on the air. How are you, sir?
Bobby.
Hey, how you guys doing?
How much did you win? Tell us.
$600 on a pick three. The numbers were 4, 5, 2. So I'm at Schnucks and in Afton, and I said, "Whether I'd like to keep printing out the winning numbers for today," and she said, "What do you want them to be?" I said, 4, 5, 2 or 4, 9, 7. She prints out 4, 5, 2. I said, "You misunderstood me. I wanted the numbers there for today, not the numbers I just gave you." She said, "That is the numbers for today." So then I started getting all nervous, and now I realized I won. Well, the mistake I made at the time, I worked at McDonald's, I made the mistake of telling everybody I won, and everybody wanted to borrow money, and that was a big mistake. Sometimes bragging is a big mistake, and you don't realize it until after you do it.
You're right. Don't tell whether it's $60, $600, $6,000. You don't tell anybody.
Yeah.
Or if you do.
You really don't.
Or cut it in half.
You realize what it's a big mistake at that point.
Bobby, did you buy anything fun with the $600 cash?
No. I just went out to eat and kind of blew it. Just going out to eat and just having fun doing that, you know, and just blowing on just eating out. And that's about it.
It should have
probably saved it, but you know, when you're not used to having money, I mean, a better job now, but at the time, you know, you're not used to having money, and it's like you can't keep it, you know. You can't wait to blow through it, so it's one of those things we're not used to having it. I didn't have any saving techniques like I do now. So,
well, good stuff.
But,
Bobby,
yeah, don't brag when you win.
All right. Good advice. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
You know, I started doing this with our kids. We'd travel, you know, drive to Wisconsin, and I started buying lottery scratch-offs for everybody. It's kind of fun in the car. Problem is my kid, you know, Carson's at the time, this is like a couple years ago, he's 6 years old. We're checking out at the Schnucks. And he's like, Dad, can we get some lottery tickets, some scratch-offs? And I swear to God, everybody looked at me like, what kind of Hoosier dad is handing out scratch-offs to the kids? Starting me, well, we're going to the boats tonight. We don't need any scratch-offs, son.
Brian McKenna's on hold. He has a lottery story. What do you have there, Brian?
Well, you know, Carson also said, Dad, can I get another pack of smokes?
Right.
All right, so this didn't happen to me, but this story is true because it's a friend of mine. I'm going to just have to give him a nickname, okay? His name's Termite. So, Termite and his buddy worked for a local utility company, and every day when they would go to Quick Trip, they would each just pitch in $2, and they'd buy two Show Me tickets every day. One day they went into the Quick Trip on Cravoy near Rivas Barracks, somewhere around there, and they decided that day to, like, pull a stack of the Show Me tickets out. They hadn't checked them in months. So the one dude goes over to get a couple of drinks, and Termite's putting all these in, and he looks. And by the way, I've had this verified also because I know the manager at that Quick Trip, and the next day I walked in, he said, hey, your buddy Termite won some money yesterday. So Termite starts getting all excited, and he yells to his buddy, dude, we just won $800. So his buddy comes running over. They put the ticket in again. They both look at each other. They put it in again. And Termite falls back like Fred Stanford doing the Elizabeth. It was $801,000.
Oh, my God.
Really?
$801,000. So he told me that story. And back when I was in radio, I was smart enough to get the hell out. Back when I was in radio, I told him, when are you going to go to the lottery office? How are you doing it? And back then, they would actually give you a check at, you know, the lottery office instead of direct deposit and all that. So he said, I will call you once we walk outside the lottery office with the money. So they took their wives. They rented a limo. They got in the limo, and Termite called me live on the air. I was doing the afternoon show with Gordo. And I said, tell us what happened. He said, we went in, we had to sign all these papers, and they gave each one of us a check, and they took all the taxes out. And I said, how much was each check? And he said, we each got a check for $299,000.
Wow.
Off of one, Show Me tickets cost $1.
Wow.
And another friend of mine, I'll make up a name, Doug.
Well, by the way, why Termite? Of all the names, do you have a friend named Termite? What?
Marty, I'll have to explain that to you some other time.
Okay. I'm starting. My mind is racing. I'm sorry I brought it up. Okay.
Another friend of mine, we'll call him Doug, he won years ago, and he chose the 20-year installment program. And what he did was, because he was single, he told his dad, I'm going to let you take care of the money, and you just pay me a salary every year out of the money. And the salary he would pay himself was over $1 million. But his dad paid him every year a check for over $150,000. But this guy lived a good life. He bought season tickets to the Blues, the Rams, the Cardinals. He put a lot of those ladies over in Sauget, Illinois, through chiropractic school. I'll tell you that.
Well played, Brian. Good all stuff. Right, thanks so much.
One more thing. You two both won the lottery. I've seen your wives. You guys could never have won anything like that unless you were on TV, I'm telling you.
Very nice.
That is true.
You. Monique and Kim appreciate that. Thank you. If they were listening.
Neither are listening. Usually our phones are ringing during the show.
Yeah.
Frank's like, I've been on the same time for how many years?
25.
All right, let's take a short time out. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan.